Hello, I'm Ros Atkins. I recently made a documentary about gender inequality viewed through the eyes of four teenage girls from around the world. Well, yesterday we heard three of those girls, Vigdis, Lulu and Shwe Shwe, meeting for the first time to talk about the programme. Mira from Jordan joined them on the line. Well, today it's their parents' turn, three of the parents together and Mira's father Marwan in the same studio in Amman.
I'm Thordís from Iceland, and I am Vigdís's mother.
I'm Gigizu. I'm Shush's dad.
I'm Daisy, and I'm Lulu's mum, and I'm from Southeast London.
I am Marwan. I am from Jordan. I am Mira's father.
Hi Marwan. It's really nice to talk to you, having seen the documentary.
Yes.
I'd like to start by asking about marriage. So personally, I think... At the end of the day, a marriage certificate is just a piece of paper. And if you love someone and you want to live with them and have children with them, then that's great. And do you really need a piece of paper to prove anything?
Marriage is very important for both man and woman. It is stability, it is love, it is everything. It is something coming to us by nature. And I respect the marriage style of life, because we don't have other choice to have a relation with a woman outside of marriage, let's say.
KK, what do you think?
Well, I'm still an old-fashioned man who believes in the marriage, yes, but we're changing, right? And society that is changing. I've seen quite a few women who've got kids who are doing quite well.
Do you mean single mothers?
Single mothers.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a problem in that sense, even though I would appreciate Shwe Shwe having a family.
If we just got pregnant or then be a single mother, that wouldn't be a problem at all. You know, I myself was a single mother for time being in my life. And in Iceland, this isn't a problem. You can keep on doing your education to universities, so the whole society takes responsibility with you and they don't judge you at all.
Same with me. I had a period as a single mother. I do think some elements of society do judge, but on the whole, in Britain, you can still be successful and it's not a problem. And if Lulu were to make that choice, I would support her in that.
We must be careful about this because, like you're saying, we have pressures from the society or maybe, in my case, the family. We still work within the family. The family gives us that structure that we're supposed to be going in that direction. If she decided, okay, I'm 30, I'm not getting married, or 35, I want a kid, I don't believe I would have a problem, but then there'll still be problems from
other members of the family.
My old man, my wife's father, they still have a say in that. Everything has its own consequences. Yeah. So
Marwan, what's the situation for you?
You talk about marriage paper. I think it is more deep than a paper. In Islam, even, you can get married without a paper. The paper is something new, let's say, or modern, to give rights for each other, for kids, for inheriting, etc., in our religion. But I think it is the marriage, it is a family, holy relationship. So I am against single mother. Even in our religion, we have solution for such kids. If a woman gets pregnant, they have to take care of kids, I mean the government, and they should raise that woman. And they force the man to get married with that woman if they have a pre-relationship before marriage.
We should remind you that this is All That Stands in the Way on the BBC World Service.
And at the moment, we're listening to our parents.
My mom is here, her name is Thordís.
My mom's here, her name is Daisy.
My dad's here and his name is Gigizu.
Marwan, I have one question. You know, for example, if it happened that Mira has married to a man who isn't the man that you thought he was, for example, he abuses her or he does something that you wouldn't be happy if, you know, what kind of situation would that be?
First of all, if I talk to the man, if I can solve the problem with Mira, of course, I will talk to Mira. If she's satisfied with his behave against her, insulting her, etc., I will give him a chance and I will talk to him. If he correct himself, his behave, I will stand away. But if he continues insulting my daughter and hurting her, I will talk to Mira. If she wants to be divorced, I will force him to divorce her, either by law or by tribal law. I mean, I will send some people to talk to him out of the court. And if he agreed, okay. If he doesn't agree, I will bring my daughter to my home. I will protect her. By law, I will divorce my daughter from him, and he will give her full rights after divorced.
Marwan, if Mira just said she was not happy with her marriage, but you felt there was nothing going wrong in terms of how a marriage should be, you know, everything was fine, even if she still said she's not happy, would you then let her apply to get a divorce?
No.
Would that be an option for her?
If Mira choose a man and we are satisfied that he is a good man, I mean, he protect him, he is responsible about everything for her future family, I will talk to Mira and I will said the most marriage have some negative and positive issue. You should face your choice and protect your family and your marriage. If she insists that he can't afford it, I will help her to be divorced also.
I kind of agree to most of the things he says, like we talk about Fishy, like I'd make sure that she's just not angry at that time. Just make sure what she wants to do is exactly what she needs to do so that she doesn't divorce quickly and then later on see that she may regret it. Mm. I think Marwan is right. Take that slow process. I take Shui Shui back to my house, maybe agree, okay, let me just keep her for a few weeks and see and try and work this thing out. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Divorce, you know. But I think it's got complications because sometimes people end up making hasty decisions without thinking while they're still fired up and make mistakes. So
I think this goes against my core values. And my core values is that I as a woman can decide for myself what's best to do. I don't need to go to my father or my mother or anyone, you know. I just decide by myself what's the best for my life and for my kids. So I think we must disagree deeply on this matter.
I agree, but it depends. The way I look at it is, if you get married and you don't involve the family when you get married, you just do it on your own over there, it's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But in my culture, you have another side of it where you go through the family. I want to go marry Mr. Swenso's daughter. The family then says, okay, we'll go to the family, talk to it. I don't even go. Like, this is what I did. Talk to my uncle, he told my dad, went to the family. There's that discussion there where there's a lobola side. Okay, we agree. We want so many cows. You negotiate, right? Once you go through that path, when you get to a stage where you can't take it anymore, I believe the right thing is to do is go back to the family, work it out through the family. You'll still have the last say, but the family will probably say, okay, just give it some time, see how it works. If you still feel that way in a month or two, fine, go ahead with it.
I'm not talking about the support that you should get from your family. You know, if I decide that I want to divorce, then of course I will have 100% support from my family. They are asking me, are you sure it's right, you know, etc. Don't rush to it. You need to think about it. The difference is that, you know, I can take this decision by myself and everyone trusts my instinct, my
judgment
to do the right thing. So maybe
Let me interrupt your talking because I want to talk something about what's going on when a dispute between wife and husband happened. You know, in our culture, and the families are involved indirectly, because when you get married with other tribal or other family, both of them start to be relatives, as you know. Even they are not a direct relative by blood, but they come through a relationship which is strongest than blood relationship. We hesitate to go to divorce court when there are some kids. I mean, if Mira, let's say, my daughter, have one boy or two girls or whatsoever, and she face a problem with her future husband, I will count till 100 before I go to divorce court, because that will destroy not only Mira and her husband, but will reflect negatively on the family, I mean the kids, in the future, and that will hurt them and will destroy their psychological side and personalities.
Hello, I'm Lulu from South East London, and you're listening to All That Stands in the Way on the BBC World Service.
So we're talking about family and relationships between relatives, you know, once people have got married. From my personal situation, I would say if you get divorced, it doesn't necessarily affect the children negatively. It doesn't have psychological consequences as long as you bring them up with love and happiness. I don't think it's a problem at all.
In Iceland, this isn't the case. And I think that's the whole thing, how to, you know, have the equality more, is that the less interest of the family in what you're doing. So it's more independent, but at the same time, the support.
It is benefit the woman and the man both together, because sometimes if they do not take right decision, the tribe and the family will correct them to take right decision that would be not regret in the future to take.
The family does have a say. I do understand that family pressure. I do, but I wouldn't mind if Sheshi got married, and I wouldn't mind not having any lobola. I'd actually let her go free, but I still have that grey area that I'm still stuck in, you know.
Hi, this is Vigdís from Iceland. Recently, I took part in a BBC documentary about teenagers and gender inequality. Well, now all of us who took part in the programme are meeting to talk. At the moment, we're listening to our parents.
In the house, we have certain roles that we've got. I've got two girls. I don't have a boy. If I had a boy, I would probably talk about sex with the boy. But then I leave this entirely to her mom. She will talk about boys and sex with her mom, not me. I seriously have a problem with that. Her mom will come back to me, tell me, and then we'll discuss it with her. And then come up with a solid whatever. But it's entirely her role.
At my house, we, I think, talk quite openly about it, though I have to, you know, underline in more general, you know, situation. And, you know, I think it's for my husband. It's very important for them to understand, you know, how he sees things. And I think that's part of breaking the chain, you know, and to change things, that they got to learn from honest discussion from an older man, you know, what sex is about and the healthy thing about sex. And with all this pornography, etc., it's so important for my girl to hear it from their father, what sex is about.
I agree. My husband has spoken quite a lot to me about sex in more general terms rather than specifically about
exactly.
Her own
so I
situation.
Think it's very important for them to hear it from him than just from me.
Yeah. Yes. It's a bit, I don't know, uncomfortable. I don't. I look at things differently.
Yeah.
A mother will deal with the girl side of most things. Mm-hmm. There are There are other things I can talk to Shoshi about, but I don't feel, I'd rather feel, I don't know how Marwan deals with that, but I'd really like to hear what he says.
Well, we have many stages when we talk to, and we have the same things. Mother will talk with the girls about sex, but sometimes I talk in general to my daughters and my boys about negative issue in sex, and about private sexual life, we don't talk with girls. But with boys, when they're planning to get married, sometimes we talk about it. And as you know, also women, mother, talk with her daughter only. I can't talk with my daughter. I feel ashamed to talk about private issue concerning sex with my daughters.
Hi, this is Shesha from Lesotho. Recently, I took part in a BBC documentary about teenagers and gender inequality. Well, now all of us who took part in that program are meeting to talk. And at the moment, we're listening to our parents.
When I was watching the documentary and I saw the environment that Lulu is living in, I found all this discussion about the sexism and it was quite ugly.
Yeah.
And I was a bit shocked. I thought it maybe I had this feeling that everyone else, I'm in some kind of denial. Maybe it's like that in Iceland, even though, Vitis is not saying it's like that. But what is your take on this? You know, you must be a little bit shocked yourself. And what will you do about this? You know, what can you do?
Yeah, I'm not really shocked. I know what men in Britain are like. I've had plenty of experience myself of, just walking down the street. You cannot walk down any street really in Britain without a car pulling by and, the man turning his head and just staring at you. Building sites are a particular pain to walk past. You kind of just have to cope with it and deal with it. Sometimes I just swear at people, But in terms of Lulu, what I do is just talk to her a lot, try and encourage her to tackle it, really, and try not to just let people get away with it. But I think she does find that very difficult. Mm-hmm. And it's not nice. And quite often we will talk about, is this the right place to live and bring up our daughters? But at the same time, I think, well, if they're getting this experience, it's going to prepare them for the wider world. And the world is like that, I think.
But I believe that we should not accept this.
No.
We definitely need to
Do more about it.
And Marwan, what's your take on this? Is this what we get out of this equality between men and women, or how do you see it?
I think in various communities you will find such activities from boys, and it is depend on how they raise up and how they are well educated concerning morals. I was not shocked about the boys behave with Lulu, even it is a little bit extreme toward naughty boys, but I think I was not shocked about that, because I can understand that boys during the teenage, they want to express themselves, and sometimes they can't express themselves very well. They go toward talking in bad words, and this is related to male-dom competition between each other, and they want to show up themselves.
I agree. It's the time when a boy comes out of his shell, discovering himself. He thinks he knows better than anybody, and they make mistakes. They're overconfident at that stage. You only learn as you grow older that this is maybe too much, I need to control. But that's the time to explore things, and you feel like you're a man finally. And
but this is actually what you should be discussing with your daughters about the sexism, etc. If this is the how they want to show themselves, and you say they are overconfident, it's not really them, they are trying to be something different, for the girls to understand where they come from and why they behave like that, it would have less effect on their self-esteem and their
Yeah, I agree, but I feel like let me say this about my case exactly. I've got my sister, who's a single parent. Mm-hmm. She's got a boy. When the time comes, I will have to sit down with the boy and try and explain these things when he's a teenager. Very soon I'll have to sit down with him and try and sort him out. So I do believe that Shweshwe's mom is better equipped to handle Shweshwe's side of that kind of a subject. And I'm better equipped to help my sister's boy on that subject.
This reminds me of in the documentary when your wife was talking about that women were better equipped to take care of kids. This is a myth that we in Iceland have been trying to kill for many years. Now I think it's an equal partnership in Iceland to take care of the kids. It's both for the men and for the women. So why don't you do it? Why don't you do it like that?
No, it's not that. It's not. I would take care of the kids fine if I actually was forced to do it or had to do it. It's only that we kind of like to separate. You take care of that. It's more comfortable with you. You should understand it more from you've been a girl, a teenager. Now you're a woman. You know that side of the coin. I'm uncomfortable this side because I know where I've been, what I've done, how I handle it, what mistakes I've done. It's not that we can't raise our kids. I help. Look, I even cook in the house.
Yeah.
Sometimes I help. It's not that I'm saying strictly.
Yeah.
This is out of bounds.
Yeah. In our home, in the way we live, my husband and I share the chores in the home. He's fantastic at also sharing the childcare and cooking, everything. But I would say still generally the overall thinking that goes into organizing the home and the children and the way that everything is done comes from me. And I think that is possibly either a maternal instinct or it's just our personalities, possibly.
Actually, when you said about that Shweshwe mother said woman is better mother than a man, there are some mothers who doesn't deserve to be mothers, that they give their responsibilities as a mother to others. I divorced my kid's mother because we have a dispute, and I think as a man I take a serious responsibility as a father and mother at once to raise my kids.
This is All That Stands in the Way on the BBC World Service.
Yesterday was very interesting, a very interesting day for me. I saw the five ladies who were in the studio with the girls. I kind of got confused because I've been taking care of Shweshwe, giving her a certain direction, but it kind of started making me think, you know, maybe with all that we've been doing, just holding her back from her achieving what she's capable of doing, you know, all these rules. Yes, I do agree, like what I've been saying, family will set the rules and stuff, but I'm beginning to wonder if we're not doing it too much.
I think I might have the opposite worries, because I think that I might have put too much pressure on Vigdís. Meeting all these, you know, fantastic ladies that we have been doing and being a part of the show, that we have this pressure on her that she needs to become something really special, or she needs to, you know, follow this and be someone. So that kind of pressure can be, you know, bad. Mm. And difficult to handle for a girl only 15 years old. So that's what I'm going to take care of. That yeah. I would like to push her, but not too much.
Actually, I think about a serious changing how to deal with Mira for that reason, to give her more trusty, to give her more freedom to choose, and to support her to be more well educated. For that reason, I accept that she even I didn't get the visa. I will let her travel alone, and I know that she will earn a lot during that trip to New York to attend Women International Conference.
I think the whole process of being in the documentary and seeing the girls talking to the women has made me want to do more as a mother, in terms of being active, not just for my own children, but generally the situation I'm in. I work full time and I have three children, so maybe I'll have to give up sleeping in order to become an activist as well. Yeah. But yeah, that is what I would like to do. Having evaluated, you know, parenting through it, and it's been really good doing that, and it's just shown me how difficult it is being a parent and how hard it is always to find a balance between how much freedom to give and how much not to give, and it's all about balance, really.
Yeah, it's been you know, a shame that Marwan and his daughter would not make it here, because they kind of missed quite a chunk. Some good things happening here. So I'm really sorry about that, Marwan.
Okay, I think we just run out of time, so I want to thank you all for the nice discussion.
It's been fantastic.
It's been fantastic.
Yeah, it is a nice to talk to you all.
Oh, bye, Marwan.
Bye, and salam in Arabic. Salam for everybody.
Salam. It was lovely to talk to you.
Yes, bye. Me too.